Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Bring Her Back. It's written and directed by Denny and Michael Filippo, starring Billy Barrett as Andy, Sora Wong as Piper, Sally Hawkins as Laura, Misha Haywood as Kathy, and Jonah Renn Phillips as Oliver. Plot of the movie is a brother and sister uncover a terrifying ritual at the secluded home of their new foster mother. All right, Corey, true horror story. Looked in the mirror this morning, my beard an absolute nightmare. Dry, wild, looked like it clawed its way out of a crypt.
That's terrifying, man. Did you hit it with that beard octane?
Oh yeah, beard wash, conditioner, beard oil brought it back from the dead.
Fellas, don't let your beard turn into a creature feature. Keep it alive and kicking with Beard Octane.
And right now, hit beardoctane.com, use code 30screams10, get 10% off. Save some cash, and save your beard from becoming a horror show.
Bad beard day? We've had plenty. Beard Octane's the fix. We swear by it.
The 17th Annual Live Free or Die Tattoo Expo, July 25th through the 27th at the Doubletree by Hilton Manchester, with tattoo artists, vendors, and body piercers. Hosted by Ink Master's Emily Elegato. A weekend pass is only $25. Yeah, you heard right. $25 for a weekend pass. Or get yours online for $20 at livefreeordietattoo.com. There'll be daily contests and un-freaking-believable sideshows. Join us for this incredible event. livefreeordietattoo.com.
30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what do you think of Bring Her Back?
The second film from the Filippo brothers, and it's a doozy. It's a story about a grieving mother, but you really don't learn that until at least halfway through the movie. I thought the acting was incredible by everyone involved, especially the kids. I cannot say enough about the performances from Billy, Sora, and Jonah. I really hope they're in more, because I don't think they've been in many mainstream films, if any. But they were all great for, you know, for children as young as they are. Just amazing.
Oh, yeah. They were great, man. Especially Jonah, because, I mean, we talked about this before, about eye stuff, right? You know, like putting the shit in people's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the fuck they do for that. I would love to pick the brains of the Filippo brothers, because Oliver with the fucking demon eyes and everything, that's not CGI.
So, oh, no.
I don't know what they're doing, but it looked fantastic. Like the makeup for Oliver looked awesome.
For as young as that kid is, I don't know, man, how old is he? I can't find it on like IMDb or anything.
I'm gonna guess 8 or 10, maybe. I don't know. Feel free to look it up. I'm just kind of eyeballing it. That's all.
He's 12.
Oh, okay.
All right. So you have a 12-year-old doing the things that he does in this film. It's fucking crazy.
Oh, dude, it's nuts. And I could see a lot of resemblance from this to Talk to Me, obviously, because it's the same directors, you know, the same brothers. But, you know, there's one scene in particular, and this still goes with the makeup deal, where he's eating the counter.
Oh, my God. And his teeth. I between that scene and the scene where he was chewing on a butcher knife.
Oh, my God. I cringe.
I'm watching those and I'm like, Steve is losing it right now.
Oh, God. I hear the sound. Like, the sound design in this movie is fantastic, by the way. It's great. And to have a kid with a knife in his mouth and he's just, like, chewing on it, like, the vertical way.
Yeah, he's chewing on the sharp part of the knife.
Yeah, it's not like he's got the knife, like, sideways in his mouth where he would probably cut the sides of his mouth. This is straight up in between the two front teeth, just gnawing down on it, and basically gives himself a cleft lip. It's fucking crazy.
That's a good way to put it. He literally gives himself one, like right from the bottom, the center of the bottom of his lip up to the bridge of his nose.
So gnarly.
Right through
it. Oh my
it.
God. Psychotic. And man, like Andy had no idea that shit was going to happen, man. But yeah, that scene is psychotic. The Filippo brothers are fantastic when it comes to Hear me out. Violence on children.
Yeah, they do not hold back. Between this and Talk to Me, you just have kids getting fucked up for 2 hours in each movie.
Yeah, the Talk to Me one is the fucking kid smashing his face against the table and just over and over. And then we have this knife-eating scene, which I had a feeling it was coming. I just didn't want to see it. And
It's funny we're talking about this because the Filippo brothers have shown, obviously, in these past two films that they're not afraid to hurt kids.
Nope.
I hate to sound like an asshole, but horror films need more of that because it's a touchy subject and people don't do it. And that type of shit's happening on screen. And I know you were cringing. I was cringing because you don't see that stuff.
No,
and that's kind of what you want in a horror film, you know?
You want to be fucking grossed out and like just feeling uneasy watching a horror movie. And deaths and mutilation of children is like next level shit that adds to that. Man, yeah, they're very good at this. But here's the problem with that. I feel like if you do it too much, then it becomes a trend, right? And then it's expected that there's going to be a dead freaking child in a movie or just a completely mangled child in a movie. And then it loses that like...
Luster.
Yeah.
Because you're right. It becomes like second nature. You're just expecting it to happen. It doesn't need to happen in every film, but I feel like it adds so much.
It really does. And they're very good at it. And I want to say they do it tastefully, but I think they do it distastefully, like just as fucking gnarly as possible. And they just make us feel uncomfortable. And I don't mean that in a bad way at all. I think it's great. I think what they do is fantastic. I like Talk to Me and I like Bring Her Back. And I'm looking forward to what they're doing. I think we've heard about a sequel to Talk to Me, right?
Yeah, they confirmed that they're working on another one. And I'm curious if that's going to be their next project because this movie came out of nowhere. They said they were working on a new project and a trailer dropped one day.
Yeah, and then it was no longer in the theaters.
It's similar to that movie Weapons that's coming out, which is also about kids disappearing. It's not their film, but it just showed up one day. There were these like viral marketing things posted all over the social media and stuff. No one knew what it was. It was kids running through the dark and just disappearing.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. Like it kind of gets you invested and you don't even know what it is.
Right. Any movie I think that targets children disappearing is already a freaky thing, and not to mention if they're adding the whole found footage aspect to it, it gives it a little bit more realism.
Yeah,
so it just makes it that much creepier. And I think Weapons could be a good one. Do you know when it comes out? I think it's coming out soon, right?
I think it's within the next couple of weeks, honestly.
I think so, because I think they recently dropped a new trailer on that.
I didn't watch that. I'm at that point now where I've seen enough of trailers, and I just want to watch the movie when it comes out.
Hey, that's our job. Our job is to watch the movies and review them, not watch trailers.
Well, yeah, honestly, but like I am actually excited about this one because as a fan of movies, I like when I don't know a lot about it. You kind of get the gist of the plot, but we've talked about this with several of the people we've interviewed, how trailers reveal too much of movies.
Yes.
And the Weapons trailer, we don't know what it's fucking about. Like, obviously, kids disappearing, but why? Why is this happening? It doesn't reveal any of that in the trailers.
No, I think it needs to be better. Like, people who make trailers just need to be better and not give everything away. But that's the thing. People just want the highlights going, oh, that looks good. I'm going to go to the movies and see all of that. When, they're just showing the best parts.
Yeah, and I feel like
people get in the theater and they're like, oh, I've seen all this in the trailer. It's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. You're trying to get people excited to go in the theater, and then they go in the theater. It's like, well, I already saw all this.
Yeah, and I feel like Bring Her Back did a great job of their marketing, too, where they didn't reveal a lot of stuff. Like, I remember sending you the trailer for this and being like, I don't know what the fuck this movie's about, but I want to watch it.
Yeah.
Because literally no clue in the trailers.
It was culty shit.
It seemed culty in the beginning. I thought it was straight culty shit, but it kind of ended up not being that.
Yeah, I don't think it's culty shit. I think it's more religious. Well, culty shit is religious shit. I think this is more like they found this fucking demon approach to bring people back from the dead, and it's maybe just been passed down to people. And so I don't think it's necessarily like a cult or anything like that. I think it's more like just shit that they found that was written and then that, they fucking used it and it's just been handed down. However, I know we see it in the video at the beginning, which starts off with a bang, by the way.
Yeah.
This movie right away just starts off nuts because we have like the whole idea of Bring Her Back is that you have someone who died some sort of method, and then you have almost like this conduit in between. And then you have another person who's dying in the same exact way. And in order to bring the person back, the conduit must eat the person that died and transfer it into the person that is about to die or is dying.
Yeah.
And like, you're just transferring the soul into a new body.
Yeah. And like, we kind of get the idea of this in the beginning when they go to the funeral for the father, when Laura adopts Andy and Piper.
Yeah.
They go to the funeral and Laura walks over to the open casket of the father and she cuts a piece of his hair off, or a, like a lock of his hair off.
Mm-hmm.
And then fucking feeds it.
I hate it.
Yeah. She fed it to Ollie.
God, eating hair. You know, some people fucking do that.
Oh, I know. And I've seen My Strange Addiction.
Exactly. Yeah, people just do that. They'll eat hair and then, like, obviously they have this knot of hair in their friggin' stomach and they have to get it, like, surgery to get the shit out.
Yeah. But she's basically, she kidnaps this kid, like, at some point, and she's trying to bring her daughter back with him.
Yeah. Ugh. One thing I didn't understand, the very beginning where we see the father dead. Clearly, he, like, threw up on himself. Like, he died in the shower, threw up on himself. I don't remember what he died from. Do you remember what he died from?
I think he just slipped.
You think
wasn't
he just
it similar
slipped?
To how Andy saw his dad in the shower? I'm pretty sure he relived the experience. And his father slipped in the shower and fell on the tile and cracked his head.
Right. Yeah, same thing basically with Andy. Andy didn't die, though, obviously. He was having, like, kind of PTSD.
Yeah, he was in the shower and saw his dead father. That was fucking creepy, too, because they showed his father on the other side of the glass. Yeah. You know how you take a hot shower and this glass gets steamy?
Mm-hmm.
The glass was steamy, and Andy was looking at the glass, and you can see just, like, the silhouette of his father kind of walking up to it, and it's blurry and steamy, and you can't really see him. Andy starts freaking out and fucking falls over.
Yep, he falls over, and before he kind of passes out, the father says, "Don't let her go in the rain." Obviously, this is a little bit later in the film. We're already jumping way ahead.
It's okay.
It's fine. But basically, the whole house had a circle around it, and I think it was salt, like a salt circle.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of those. It's like a satanic ritual kind of thing where it's there to keep things inside of it.
Yes.
And this kid was convinced he couldn't get out because that's what Laura told him.
Yep. He didn't think he had free will in order to get past it. Well, the thing is, when Oliver did pass it that first time, when Andy was dragging him to try to get him to go to the hospital, he hit the ground and it almost looked like he was burning up and his insides were just going fucking crazy. And
I thought a fucking chest burster was about to come out of him or something.
Oh, same. I thought we were going to get an alien situation. So he's freaking out and stuff. And like the whole time, Andy thinks that this kid is a mute, because that's what Laura said to them, is that he's a mute, doesn't talk. And then eventually, like, this kid, Oliver, he just kind of comes out of it and he says, "I think, help me." And that's when Laura comes back home, brings Oliver back in the house. And Oliver at this point is now coming back into his normal self. He's no longer in like demon mode. He's like Oliver, the regular kid. And then she starts drawing circles on his head and just, I don't know, bringing him back into that weird demon mode. I don't know how she's doing it, but she is. Like, she has this ability to just fucking get him into that mode.
They kind of never,
like, the circles.
They kind of never touched on that. And I'm wondering if they're saving it for a sequel, because, I mean, Laura doesn't die. The way that it ends is, you know, we're not going to spoil that, but she doesn't die.
You don't think she died?
No, she probably got arrested because the police showed up.
It's definitely debatable. It's possible that we could get a sequel, and then we are getting more information on how all of this fucking began. Maybe they'll go back fucking Dark Ages on some shit.
Yeah, some Army of Darkness shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Laura decides to go into like this fucking wormhole, goes back into the Dark Ages, and it's like Klaatu, Varactan.
I'm hoping the universe is all tied together somehow with Talk to Me. That's it's probably really far-fetched, but...
No, actually, that would be pretty cool if they decide to have it all just kind of the same universe.
Yeah.
They're, like, the hand is one aspect of this whole ritual, and that in order to maybe keep the body, like, keep that soul in that body, they have to do something with the hand. I don't know. They could do all sorts of shit with that. And I don't feel like we see a lot of that, you know, where they're just like, okay, here's one movie and it's supposed to be its other thing. And here's another movie where it's supposed to be its own thing.
Yeah.
And you know what? We're going to bring it together anyways.
Do some glass stuff, glass and split.
Yeah, exactly. Like that. Like, we didn't think that was going to be the same universe, but, you know, the little fucking plot twist at the end of, well, actually, we got a double plot twist in that movie.
Yeah.
If you think about
it. Bar.
Yeah, because
the bar, and there was another one. I don't remember what it was. Well, wasn't it like Bruce Willis or something came in at the bar, or was it Sam Jackson? I cannot remember.
No, so what it was is, obviously the first part was Henry Wendell Crumb, and this was all at the zoo, and all these personalities, like the Beast was being influenced basically, I think, by all the animals in the zoo, and that's where he got that other identity from.
Yeah.
So we find out, like, oh, geez, all of this is happening in the zoo, and, like, he's inherited all these fucking people, whatever. But then the twist is later on, a girl in the diner is like, this sounds a lot like a story I heard a while ago. Like, then we see Bruce Willis, Mr. Glass. And that's where we see, like, oh, it's part of the same universe.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Completely unexpected.
Yeah. They could do something like that for this. And I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yep. Agreed.
So, Philippo Brothers, if you're hearing this, I just gave you a little idea. Well, we both did.
We won't even charge you for it.
Yeah, we won't charge you for it. Yeah, you can have that one. Just come on the podcast. I think it's a fair deal.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, I think if we're just spitting out all of these ideas to just out in the ether, and they're like, you know what? I like that. Like the fucking Scream. I don't give a shit. We manifested that all day.
I was just going to say, we kind of wrote Scream 7.
Yeah, you're welcome, everyone. Jeez. That's what I should be doing for a living. Writing scripts for movies. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe they'll thank us in the credits. And if they do, I'll fucking eat my hat.
All right. I got to make a note of this episode here.
No. I'm not eating fucking. I like my hat.
You said it.
I know. Fuck.
I'll give you a hat to eat.
Oh, God. I hope it's made of fucking Jolly Ranchers or some shit.
No, it's going to be made of cloth.
Fuck.
We'll
no.
We'll blend it up first. You don't actually have to like. Eat it
I
as
hate
it is.
This idea.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
It's going to be sweaty too.
I don't like it.
You said it. You fucking put it into the universe. So
you're the one that says, I'll eat my fucking hat.
Well,
so I was just pulling at you.
Yeah. And every time I say it, whatever I said I'll do it for, it doesn't happen. So.
Oh, it would happen, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So it's your turn for it to actually happen.
God, I have that luck.
I have a nice sweaty Red Sox hat right next to me that you can eat.
No, thanks. I'm going to fucking puke already. I don't like it. Oh, God. Think about how many thumbs down we're getting for this. Like, fuck these guys. They're saying that they wrote Scream 7 and Steve's vomiting on the mic and he's talking about eating cloth and like merchandise. It's an episode, people. It's quite the episode right
now. Dislikes are actually likes.
Yeah. Hey, what do they say? They say that.
They hate us because they ain't us.
Well, that too. But no, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking thumbs down us all day. What's good shit?
Let's be the most thumbs down fucking podcast ever. I don't give a fuck. Actually, I kind of do. I'm like, aw.
Yeah, this is a lot of work. Let's not aim to be thumbs down for every episode.
No, we want to get at least a few thumbs up.
Just a couple. I'm good with a couple.
We were looking at the analytics before we started this thing, in case you're all wondering. Google Analytics, mind you, like YouTube.
Yeah.
Follow us on it, by the way, or subscribe, I should say. Subscribe to our YouTube, by the way. I know, shameless plug. But let's dive back into this real quick because we're slightly going off.
Okay. And we haven't talked about corn yet, so.
Oh, that's true. Don't fucking get me started, man. Oh. I'll go down that new metal wormhole.
I know.
I mean, I can't count Deftones, which just dropped a single. I can't count them as new metal. I can't do it. Some people do. Now I'm going off, Corey. Stop me.
No, I started that one.
Yeah, that's on you, man.
Yep.
It's great, by the way. In case anyone was wondering, check it out. It's on Spotify. But you know what? Go to 30screamsoless.com. You won't hear the Deftones song there, but you can follow us all over social media. And that's how you come back.
Nice. What was that? Like a
segue.
Segue, yeah.
There it is, segue. But I want to talk about Oliver, man, because this kid was wild. He stole the show whenever he was on screen because this kid, I don't want to say he had range because his only range was being fucking demon mode.
Demon mode.
Yeah, basically demon mode. And that mode that this kid was in is just unfucking hinged. Absolutely unhinged. Like we talked earlier about the knife scene. That is like one of the wildest scenes I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it wasn't like a background thing. It was like the camera was up close and personal, and you're watching this this knife go between his teeth.
Oh, that's what I hate. I hate teeth stuff.
I know. I made a comment on my notes. I said Steve is probably going to puke at the table scene.
I did. No, I didn't puke, but I was like, you know when you're just like, oh, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of that feeling.
No, I don't. That's what happened. Happened to me.
No? No, oh, that's just... right, because you're a sadist.
Yeah, I love that shit.
Yeah. No, like, there's got to be something that you're just like, oh, I don't like that.
I'll have to think on that one. We'll address that in a future episode.
Okay. Like, dude, there's got to be something. Yeah, I don't know. We'll think of something. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
I'll just have to do weird shit in front of you. And then you'll go, yep, I don't like that one.
Okay, that's fair. Okay. Just to try to gross out Corey. Is that one of your new goals?
I guess, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't even watch the videos I send you of people getting shot anymore, so.
It's because you don't have any anymore. Now it's all the fucking gorilla doing the, what's up, fam? No, not gorilla, Yeti. What's up, fam? Yeti here. F in chat.
For the Yeti and the and Bigfoot.
Oh, and Bigfoot, Yeti, same difference.
No, they both do it.
They both,
yeah,
okay.
There's Bigfoot and Yeti.
Dude, that shit is wild. AI is fucking wild.
Yeah, we should make a Bigfoot AI video, but he's like about 30 screams or less.
We'll do a crossover?
Yeah, we'll do a crossover with Bigfoot.
Let's do a crossover with Bigfoot. How about that?
Oh,
what's
man.
What's up, fam? Here with 30 screams or less.
Yeah, we're about to eat. We're about to do some booger sugar.
Booger sugar. Oh, God. Man, the one you sent me about the girl exploding, it was hysterical. Because he's just like... Like, I don't even want to say it because it's so fucking absurd.
Yeah, every single one of those is absurd. I send you the one of Bigfoot and Spider-Man?
No, you didn't.
Okay,
well, now you will.
Yep, I will.
All right.
Incoming.
Great. Speaking of Spider-Man, has nothing to do with Spider-Man. This foster mom, man, she was...
Dude.
Crazy.
I thought she looked familiar, and then, like, afterwards, I went and looked at her IMDb. She was the mom in Paddington.
That's how you know her?
Yeah, and she was in like the Wonka movie.
Shape of Water,
Godzilla.
Yeah.
Let's say she's been in a ton of stuff, but I knew her, like, it came to my mind specifically for Paddington because I love those movies.
Oh, okay. Well, everyone has their feel-good movies.
Yeah.
Mine is Dude, Where's My Car?
Okay, fair.
Well, we all have to have, like, the movie that turns off our fucking brain for a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's the movie for me. Dude, Where's My Car? And, oh, shit, that's the primary one because sometimes I'm just like, nope, I need to fucking dumb it up because I've been overthinking today.
You know who I kind of thought it was at first when I first saw her in this movie?
Who's that?
The waitress.
Oh, from It's Always Sunny?
Yeah, she looks very similar.
Oh, yeah, they do kind of have a similar face structure, don't they?
Yeah, and I went to IMDb to check and it wasn't her, but I was like, damn, they are very, very close to looking identical.
You know, I think I thought the same thing as I was watching, because I had that familiar feeling about her, and I did the same thing. I looked her up. I'm like, oh, yeah, she was in Shape of Water, which I think she won an Oscar for. I know, like, that movie was fucking cleaning up at the Oscars.
Let's see. Oscars.
Shape of Water, Oscar noms.
2 Academy Award nominations, one for Best Supporting Actress for her role in Blue Jasmine and another for Best Actress in The Shape of Water. She did not win either award, but has received several of other accolades. All so right. She was at least nominated.
Hey, it's you can even say, like, in the trailers, Academy Award nominee. And then it's like, hey, that's legitimizing yourself just by that alone. Hell, Leonardo DiCaprio had that for fucking ages until he won his Oscar for The Covenant.
The Revenant?
That's the one. The Covenant is a different one that we just reviewed, isn't it?
No. We just reviewed Consecration.
Close enough.
Oh, yeah. They're very close. They no. sound the same.
Okay. Whatever. Yeah. They're both religious shit. No, there is a movie like that, right? No, what's the one with Sydney Sweeney? That's not The Covenant, right?
No, that was... fuck. Now I don't... Okay. I don't know. What the hell was that called?
I am thinking of Guy Ritchie's movie, apparently. Where is my fucking brain right now? I don't know, man. I don't know. Yes, the Revenant? Doesn't matter. This ain't a Leonardo DiCaprio podcast. Who knows? Maybe we'll get him on someday. That would be absolutely absurd, Corey.
Who?
I'm talking Leonardo DiCaprio.
Who's that?
I don't know.
never heard of him.
Nah, never heard of him either. But man, this lady was wild. You're right. She had that same kind of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia waitress look to her. But hell of a performance from her. Very believable. Some of the shit that she was doing was just fucking wild. Like the pissing in a cup.
Oh my God. And making Andy think he pissed himself.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Also, who doesn't wake up from that?
You're trying to tell me you never pissed a bed when you were a kid and you didn't, like, no, are you trying to tell me you woke up when you did that?
When I was a kid, no. But okay. When kids are sleeping, they are fucking dead-ass deading.
That's what I'm saying. They're DED when they're sleeping. If somebody threw piss on me, I'd never know it until I woke up.
Yeah, but this kid is not a child. He's like 17, about to turn 18. You would think, like, why is there fucking liquid being poured on me right now?
I don't know, because he was sleeping with, didn't he sleep in his jeans or something?
Yeah, he slept like in jeans, and he had a bit of a fucking slobbering problem, too.
Oh,
he was always like slobbering all over his friggin' pillow.
Yeah.
So, hey, maybe he's just a dead-ass sleeper.
Yeah.
Hell of a performance from her. But yeah, what I also want to talk about with Lara is that very psychologically damaging. So she's really trying to drive this wedge in between Piper and Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really fucking with that whole dynamic. She's blaming shit on Andy that Piper can't see, obviously. She's blind as fuck.
Yeah. She's blind. And she's what she say in the beginning, she can only see shapes or something.
Yeah, exactly. So I think shapes and colors, and I think that's kind of the case with a lot of blind people.
Okay.
It's not like completely jet black. I have heard interviews with people who are blind that it's kind of like being able to see out of your elbow. You can't do it, right? It's not a fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that's what it's like being blind, apparently. Like, can you see it out of your elbow? No.
Never tried.
So you never tried? You
no.
Just don't know. So it's even seeing black is seeing. So that's like pure blindness. She is just like really blind. Now, my question is, was this girl like actually blind in real life? Because if she wasn't, man, her face movements.
Oh, yeah.
Wild. Wild. The eyeball just constantly like swinging to the left and all this stuff. And it's just all over. If she isn't blind, which I probably should look that up.
I am Googling it right now. Sora Wong is not blind, but she was born with coloboma and microphthalmia, which have left her with limited sight.
Oh.
So in the movie, she plays a blind character.
Oh,
so she's not 100% blind in real life.
Okay. Still sucks, obviously. So maybe that's just her in the movie, you know, like that's her, what she deals with on a day-to-day basis, and it's part of who she is. But she just kind of heightened it in the movie of, yeah, like she's completely blind, can't see anything other than shapes and colors. So, okay, not acting then. Acting otherwise, but that whole face thing that she had going on, not acting. That was her. That's my guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I want to go back to the knife thing real quick.
Ugh.
I know.
We have to?
Well, I'm not going into the knife part. I'm just going into the scene.
Okay.
And I think they did a callback to talk to me.
Oh, really?
Did you notice that?
No, I guess I missed this.
Okay. So Andy is about to like cut up the fruit and he's standing there. Oliver's sitting there and Oliver is mute. Or Andy thinks Oliver is mute at that point. So he's trying to strike up this conversation with him and Oliver is giving him nothing. So he's like hands him like a pencil and paper and says to him, here, so you can talk to me.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, oh, okay. I think that might have been intentional.
All right.
Little callback.
Yeah, I can see that.
Who knows? Maybe that little thing right there is their way of like bringing the two together or teasing it for later. That or it was just like a little fun little reference. I'm probably leaning more towards a fun little reference.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm hoping it's tying them together, but.
Yeah. So, well, we'll see. I don't know if we should really like give out too much more to this movie.
No.
Because I will say this. This third act, man.
Batshit.
Batshit. Absolute batshit. It is just like one thing after another after another after another. It's almost to the point of exhausting. Like, oh my God. Because there's a lot of buildup in this movie until this third act, which is just nuts. Absolutely nuts. So I don't think we should go into more. I think everyone needs to check out this movie, especially in that third act, because I don't want to give too much away on that.
Oh my God. So, no, I get it.
You want to talk a little bit about it?
No. I was just reading the trivia on IMDb. I always look at these things.
You love reading trivia.
So bringing back to what we were talking about with Sora Wong. So she had zero experience acting professionally before she was cast in this film.
Really?
Her mom came across a casting call on Facebook looking for a visually impaired girl.
What am I doing with my life?
That's... Wow.
All right, going on Facebook looking for a casting call. Jeez, I need to get to work here. What am I doing wrong with my life?
That's What's fucking happening? Crazy.
Yeah.
And her I'm sure, I bet the phone was ringing off the hook when people saw this movie.
Yeah, she's probably getting more opportunities. Dude, it only takes one shot. And if you fucking knock it out of the park, that's it. That's all you need. Is
wow.
That one shot.
They got that performance out of someone that has never acted before. That's crazy.
Yeah, she's really good. I think she's got a knack for it, man. I like the trivia stuff. The trivia is fun stuff. So we don't do enough of that.
Yeah, we'll start doing that again.
Yeah, let's do more of that again, because that's always a good time. But yeah, third act is completely unhinged. Just everything that's happening. But we want you to see it. I know we say spoiler alert at the beginning, but we believe you should watch this. So with that said, Corey, what do you give Bring Her Back?
This is a 5 out of 5. Started slow, but about an hour in, it became incredibly intense. Mm-hmm. This film is a masterclass in building dread and telling a powerful story. It's absolutely gut-wrenching once you realize it's really about a mother processing the loss of her daughter. The Filippo brothers have truly cemented their place in film, and I can't wait to see what they create next.
Yeah, you know, they're like Ari Aster in that aspect.
Yeah, they start off very under the radar, and all of a sudden, they're just taking off.
Exactly. Ari Aster started with Hereditary, and it's like, fuck, all right, this is something else. And then it went to Midsommar, and we're like, shit. And then it went to Bo is Afraid, and we're like, damn, okay, like, we get it.
Have you seen the trailer for his new one?
Not yet.
Eddington?
I, for some reason, have not dove into that.
No, I feel like we talked about this, and I never sent you the trailer, but that's another one where I think there was a teaser trailer and then a full-length trailer, but I have no fucking idea what the movie's about. It's almost like a Western with Pedro Pascal and Joaquin Phoenix.
Okay. Well, so, he never really explains what it's about anyways. He doesn't give away too much in the trailers.
Yeah, he's like Hideo Kojima. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know who you're talking
about. Where he just makes like obscure shit and it really doesn't make any sense, but it's really good.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I think that's better marketing, to put something out there that now you have this proven brand. So Ari Aster put out Hereditary. Now he's built this like, oh, fuck. Okay, this is the guy to watch. Now he puts out this shit, like these trailers that you're like, I don't know what this is even about. It looks freaking ridiculous. You go in, you're like, oh, wow, that was something else. So it seems like that aspect is that Kojima knows his shit. He puts out a fucking banger games, and then we all fucking eat it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get a formula that works. It's like Kojima thinks of these things, and like it literally just come up in his brain, and he's like, I'm going to put that into a game.
Yeah. Question off topic. What's your favorite Metal Gear Solid?
Probably Snake Eater, which I'm actually excited about the remake that's coming out this year.
All right.
You?
I'm going to go with 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Metal Gear Solid. I think Sons of Liberty, right?
Yeah. And the first one was just, I think, MGS or Metal Gear Solid.
Which was so fucking good. I mean, don't get me wrong, but the second one was just like off the fucking wall. Nuts.
Was that the one with Psycho Mantis?
No, that first one was Psycho Mantis. Psycho Mantis is the coolest boss battle of all time.
I remember like playing that game back in the day, and the way that it worked is for the listeners that haven't played it, is he was a mind reader, and you had to plug and unplug your controller into different ports of the PlayStation so he couldn't predict your moves.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucking crazy. You can't do that shit anymore because everything's wireless.
You know what? You're absolutely right. Not to mention all the shit that's happening to your TV while this is like this boss battle is happening. Like your fucking memory card is being read.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he's threatening to erase it and shit. And you're like, oh, no.
I know. I remember that. Like the first time I played it, I took the memory card out.
Yeah.
Probably wiped it.
Probably. Yeah. He's like reading it and you're like, oh, shit. Think about the work that's put into that. I mean, it's probably like, if this is on your memory card, then he reads this whole fucking thing. And I was blown away. And I think at one point, the TV goes dead.
Black screen of death, yep.
Yeah, it goes black screen. You're like, what just happened to my game? And then it kicks back in. You're like, is something wrong with my TV? It's the coolest, most advanced boss I've ever seen in a video game.
What's crazy is that like Kojima has made several games since then, and he's never done anything like that in any of them.
No, that was like his opus. Like that was his way of being like, hey, I'm here. Shit's about to get real fucking weird.
Yeah.
The rest is history. So I know that was my little sidebar.
Yeah. What's your rating?
My rating. So I was teetering on this one, but I'm going to go with a 5 out of 5. We've seen the concept before of a grieving parent trying to bring their kid back. Point in case, Pet Sematary.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought this was done really well. Grief will make people do crazy things, and Lara's character was no exception. The gore was fantastic, the score was awesome, and the makeup on Ollie was nuts. You gotta wonder how they do that eye shit on a child, because how does a kid wear fucking contacts and not get bothered? I mean, they have to be contacts or something, but amazing makeup. Sound design was incredible too, especially with the whole knife scene. It's gonna make everyone fucking cringe when you watch it, I assure you, because it made me cringe. Unless you're like Corey and you're just like, oh, that's cool.
Unless you're like me, yeah. No, that was definitely a little cringe. I won't lie.
You had to have cringed like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Going on the blade of a knife.
Yeah, something you don't see often. A child eating a knife. So if you want to check out Bring Her Back, it's out now to rent or buy on VOD. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit shiningwizardsnetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30screamsorless.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out beardoctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.